tonight. It's causing arguments. I mean, it's causing battles. I mean, and all this thing is, when they've come out, is, you know, I'm going to see if I can do this right. In Isaiah 14, the devil says, I will, five times. And there's a city in Chicago whose theme, their motto is, I will. Their zip code is 60606. It was also the same town that the NIV was hatched in 1966. And so we see, I mean, just, you know, stuff like that. And it just goes to show you that where the devil is really trying to infiltrate Christianity, he's trying to infiltrate lives. He's trying to change the things so that we, not we, but people are serving him rather than serving God. Because he said, I will be like the Most High God. That's who he said he's going to be like. People look at the devil like he says he's going to be opposite, and he is not the opposite. He said he's going to be like the Most High. So he comes in with his own books. He's got his own churches, so on and so forth. And you know what? It's us. Get us. God is trying to arm us with our Bible to go out there and be able to know the truth. And I'm not saying fighting and arguing with them, because personally, I don't like fighting and arguing. But I will defend the Bible if need be. But I don't, you know, I'd rather be edifying somebody. I'd rather teach somebody. And there's a difference between teaching and there's a difference between preaching. And, you know, the Lord is teaching me right now. I'm in a transition where he's really teaching me how to do both. I can preach, but he wants me to learn how to teach. And so at the 1 o'clock service, at our service, a challenge was set forth by my pastor. He said, I want you to get up there, and I want you to open the Bible, and I want you to preach 3 chapters, verse by verse, of the book of John. And that's what I've been doing. And just, you know, and you know what? To tell you the truth, preaching still breaks out. It just happens. That's the word of God. It happens. Those things happen.
That's right.
But I'm learning how to teach the Bible. Sunday school, I'm learning. My kids have come to realize Dale's going to come down and he's going to teach us things. I'm not just going to preach it. I'm going to teach them. Explain to them why this is and why that is and so on and so forth. And, you know, I just believe the Lord is pleased with that. But it's still a hard transition, you know, from somebody, you know, going from just preaching to both learn how to teach and preach. But I thank God for what's going on. So we're going to... I believe the Bible, it's not an opinion that I formed. The Bible has taught me exactly what it says, where it says it, and who it says it to. When you say you believe something, typically there is a response to what you say you believe, and it will line up with what you believe. If you believe a King James Bible, it will line up with a King James Bible. If you believe in another version, your life will line up with that version. If you have another religion, your life will line up with that religion. Whatever belief system that you claim in your life, it will show what you believe. Your life will reflect what you believe or don't believe. That's just how it goes. You can just see it in people's lives on what they believe, what they don't believe, what they stand for, so on and so forth. And I believe this, when a person gets saved, gloriously saved by Jesus Christ, he gives us that faith to be able to believe and put our belief in the King James Bible. That will reflect on the outside. He is worried about the inside. And I went over it, I think, last week or the week before, where I preached on God is not worried about the outside. The outside will follow. Once he cleans the inside of that heart, then God will step in and the outside will just start following along. But you know what? Most of the religions today, it's all an outward thing. An outward work of religion, how they dress, how they talk, you know, so on and so forth. It's real nice. It sounds real good when somebody's talking to somebody in church or whatever, and then you step in their house and you can't believe the words they're saying. You know, you hear somebody say one thing, and then you go peek in their windows, and they're living a totally different life. God forbid if I ever get caught up in that garbage. I strive hard to stay the same person here, at home, in church, in public, wherever I'm at. I hope to God that you'll catch me acting the same way that you see me here. Amen. And if not, I hope you call me out on it, because I need it. I'm not afraid of people stepping in and saying, you know, Dale, maybe you handled that wrong, or maybe, you know, this one on or that one on. Of course, I said some things in 1 Corinthians 3:1 where Paul's talking about, and we were talking about it in the back room. He says that he's going to talk to him. He's talking to him in a carnal mindset. That's how he's talking to him. He said, I can't talk to you spiritually right now. Why? Because they're living in the carnal. They are being flesh. Well, what is being carnal? The things that you know Jesus Christ would have you do, you're doing the opposite of it. You're answering people wrong. You're not right. Your prayer life is a mess. Your Bible readings don't have nothing. You know, people will say, hey, how you doing? You know, you don't want to talk to them. You try to avoid them. You know, all that kind of stuff is just being carnal. You know, people might say something to you and you get offended real easily when normally you wouldn't. That's being carnal. That's living in the flesh. And you know what? God is, you know, he just wants us to get out of that stuff. Yes. He doesn't want us to live that way. Because we're supposed to be a testimony. Now, we're human beings. We get in bad moods and all that kind of stuff. But I tell you now, we don't have, if we're walking spiritually, no matter what people say or do to you, you can walk. And people would never know you're carnal. You can walk because you know why? Because you're gonna have the character that Jesus Christ had. Could you imagine? I mean, you know the thing. They wanted to stone him. I mean, they just did all this nasty stuff to him. And he never once acted carnal towards him. You know, and that's what he's trying to teach us. But I thank God he's going to, you know, for him being a delivering God who will show us these things and get us out of it. And so anyway, whatever belief system you have, your life will show that. Jeremiah 8:9. If we could turn there, please, to Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8, verse 9. Now, I went over some of this earlier, and I'm going to reiterate a little bit here. Jeremiah 8, verse 9 says, these wise men are ashamed, that they are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? What wisdom do they have rejecting the word of the Lord? You see, it's easy to follow a religion where the man has written the word of their supposed word of God, their book. It's easy to follow that kind of lifestyle because what has happened is you have brought God down to you're trying to bring God down to your level. When you have God, or when you think that you have God on your level, life goes pretty easy. It's pretty sweet. People say, well, they're always happy and they're always this and they're always that. You know why? Because they brought God down to their level. But let me tell you something. If they ever see God in the true light, the way he sees them, they won't be so happy all the time. They won't have such a smile on their face. That if they see who they really are, they'll say, oh, I got this thing messed up. I know when I started, God started showing me who I really was and what I was, it tore me slap out the frame. I mean, it just made me like, whoa. You know what? I beg God on a daily basis, never let me become that again. Please, Lord, when the Lord starts saying, Dale, you're living carnal, here you go. Have some of what you used to be. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my Lord, please, Lord, let me not. You know what it says? These people think they're wise. They reject the word of the Lord, and they call themselves wise. Jeremiah, let's see, 8:8. How do you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? Go back to verse 8. We hit that already in the Sunday school. And it says that they're saying that God wrote the book and it was in vain. That he really didn't do it. The scribes that he chose, what they put down meant nothing. Because they had the way. They had the true law. They knew what they're... He says, you know what? How wise do you think you really are rejecting the word of God? How wise do you think... How well do you think you really have it? How well? How well? These are those who deny the King James Bible is the true word of God and perfect. How did God say he would preserve his word? He would preserve it through him and the Jewish people. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 12. Psalm 12. The Jewish people. Let me see. Psalm 12. Then we're going to read 6 and 7. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. It says... the words of the Lord are pure as silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation and for a lifetime. And maybe for this generation. You read that, it says forever. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. verse 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. We just seen that the Lord is going to preserve His word forever. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled on earth." No. Thy word is settled in heaven. It's done. It's over. There's no need for anything else. That's why the warning is in there in the back of Revelation 22, where it says, "Don't take away from and do not add to it." Why? Because it's settled in heaven forever. It's over with. We don't need nothing else. We have it right here in front of us. And that's what He said. But you know, man can't be happy with that. Man needs something different. Man's got to have something that's going to be appealing to him. It's going to be pleasing to him. That, I'm just going to tell you now, that is the wrong attitude. That will get you nowhere. That will get you nowhere with God quick. Nowhere with God quick. I just told Autumn the other day, my daughter, she's 7, she got saved a couple days ago. And I told her, I said, "Autumn, when you pray, pray in the will of God. Because then your prayers will be answered. But when you start praying for foolish stuff, go ahead and hang that up. Go ahead and hang that up. God will let you know that very quickly. And there's very good things in the will of God. I got a family. Got beautiful, I love my churches. What about the peace of God that passes all understanding? What about my mind finally being healed from all the hurt and pain? And what about the bitterness that He's taken from me and the anger? I mean, what about the deliverance from jails and prisons and mental hospitals and rehabs and being homeless? And I mean, just the gangs and the drugs and the alcohol. What about all that? Isn't that a blessing? I think so.
Amen.
Man, I'm happy. I'm happy I got those promises. That's something He wants. That's His will. That's His will for my life. That's something. It says that was His will for my life. Thank God for His will, not mine. I just tell you what, if it was left up to me, I could show you how to destroy your life pretty darn quickly. And my wife got a taste of that. Thank God He stepped in and saved me. But my wife got a taste of what it's almost like to have a life totally destroyed. When she used to pray for me, she used to pray that the Lord would kill me. That was her prayer at night. You know what God heard her prayer? He did. He killed the old Dale and gave her a new saved husband. That's something. That's right. Yeah. She knew what it was like to almost be destroyed. And I mean physical. You know, I got physical with her, did I not? And I bit her one time so hard on her shoulder she started bleeding and everything. That was physical. He heard your prayer, hon.
Amen.
He heard her prayer. You know, my son was scared of me. He used to be absolutely fearful of me. I'd walk by and he'd flinch. But I think Lou got a new dad. He got a new dad. And Autumn, she got a new dad. So much so that even when we're in the midst of struggles and we're in the midst of trials and tribulations, that when we're doing family time at the kitchen table, my daughter can get saved. Why? Because of me? I don't know how to be a man. I don't know how to be a dad. I don't know how to be a husband if it didn't come from this. I kid you not. I've learned how to be what I am today from this.
Amen.
My instruction, man. Basic instructions before leaving earth. So when it's not working out in people's life, it's because they've left this. Look at America. How well are we doing? How well is it to have the sodomites taking over everything? How well is it going? How much victory are we having here in America? Well, they're going to have to start sending missionaries to us. Because we've taken the word, the very thing that's settled in heaven, and we put it in second place. We've put God in second place. We've kicked Him out of everything, even His own word. Even His own churches He's kicked out of now. That's a shame. I wonder why we are where we are today. There's a lot of smart people in this world. You'd think they'd catch on to that. But I'm going to tell you what it is. They're blinded by the devil and their own self-satisfaction.
Yeah.
Could you imagine being able to live your life any old way you want, Amy? Sin, drinking, I mean, putrid sexual sins and all that. That's what they get to do. That's the type of life that they don't think God requires them to change a thing in their life. They can live any old way they want, say whatever they want, act every way they want, and they're okay. That's why they seem so happy. But let me ask you this. If they're so happy, why are they on so much medication then? Oh, I can say that. You know why? Because the Lord delivered me off of 17 psychotropic pills a day I was taking. 19. psychotropic pills a day. I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress syndrome. I was diagnosed with explosive anger disorder, bipolar, depression. I had all that stuff labeled on me until one day, the psychiatrist looked at me and said, Dale Morey, my wife was sitting there. He said, there's nothing else I can do for you. And you know what? That's when Jesus Christ stepped in and did it. That's when he stepped in and did it. How does that happen to somebody like that? Oh boy. I do believe the King James Bible is the perfect word of God. I believe he preserved it. It said he can preserve it. It's pure words as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified how many times? Seven times. Seven is the number of perfection. The Father's perfection. Seven times the Word of God has been purified, and we have it sitting in front of us today. He did it. He didn't ask man to purify it. He says he will preserve it. He's the one who purified it, not man. Man can't even purify their own hearts. How are they going to do his word? If you can't even clean your own heart up and you need Jesus Christ to do that, then how do you expect to do his word? That doesn't make sense to me. But God can. It's his word. Verse 7, and I'm in Psalm 12, I'm on verse 7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. 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 We just read Psalm 119, 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Settled. That means forever. It's done. Then it says, forever means forever, no matter what you believe. There is no end to God preserving his word. The number seven is the number of perfection in the Bible, or being complete. Some say it is the number of God the Father. I believe God is powerful enough to be able to preserve his word. In this next verse, we see that the word will come from, turn with me to Micah. Micah, minor prophets. Micah 4. If you don't know where it's at, it's fine. I'll just turn to it and I'll read it. I'm not very good at finding stuff. I can't do it. I'm like pastor. I just can't find stuff very quickly. But I can find it. I got it marked out. Micah 4. Here we go. Verse 9. Verse 2. Let's see where the word's going to come from. And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall come forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. I say that's the Jewish people preserving his word, wouldn't you? First of all, God is going to preserve it. He's given it to the Jewish people to bring it down. And it says that the word of the Lord is going to come from Jerusalem. He's going to bring that down, and he's going to bring it out of there. And let me just finish reading here. It says, in the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. In the Old Testament, we see the Jewish people carried the word in the ark and preserved it. They carried that thing around in the ark. It was in there. Certain people were allowed to touch it and others couldn't. You know what happened when they touched it? They died. You know what's going on with these people changing the word of God? They're dying. They're being spiritually murdered. And they don't see it. They have no clue because they are touching something that is sacred. They are touching something that is from God. They are touching something and trying to make it their own, and it's not. And they're spiritually dying, and they're not seeing it. They're blind to the very thing. And it's a sad state to be in. So let me go in the New Testament. Who was the ones the Lord saved and wrote in the New Testament? Who wrote most of the New Testament? I think he was a Jew. I don't think you can get any more Jewish than Paul was. God preserved his word. He knew what he was doing. Let me just reiterate what I'm saying here. And I know you guys believe this is Paul, John, Matthew, Peter. Were they not all Jews? Paul himself was a Jew, a Pharisee, part of the Sanhedrin. He refers to the Old Testament more than any other that wrote the New Testament. You read what Paul says, and you look and follow behind what he goes, and you know what he teaches? He teaches mostly Old Testament. He's dealing with Old Testament doctrine, bringing it into the New Testament.
Why? He's a Jew. He knew that part of his heritage was to preserve the Word of God. He brings a lot of the Old Testament things into the New Testament. Why? Because he's preserving God's Word. Now, let me ask you, do we live by the law? No. But you know what he says in the New Testament? He said, I would not have known sin if it wasn't for the law.
Yeah.
How do you think people... if you ask my 7-year-old daughter who's sitting back there how she understood that she was lost, you tell her daddy sat her down and it was showing her through God's law how she would be lost by breaking his laws. And you know what? She ended up getting saved. Now, does she live by the law? No, she does not. She lives by the faith and the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the finished work on Calvary, out of that cross, and when he raised out of that grave for our victory, for our justification. That's how she lives. That's how I live. But you know what Paul says? The law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. It says when when faith was revealed, there was no need for the schoolmaster anymore. That law. The law brings us from being a lawbreaker to the faith of Jesus Christ. Once our faith is in Jesus Christ, we don't need the law anymore. Why? Because our faith is in Jesus Christ, who said he came not to destroy the law and the prophets. He fulfilled them.
Amen.
He fulfilled them in him. So if Christ is in us, if we are now saved, it's all fulfilled. It's done. It's over with. We don't have to live that way anymore. You understand? We don't have to live because Jesus Christ already took all that. So now the schoolmaster is just going to open our eyes to how God really sees us. And when we realize that, we go, oh man, whoa. And he says, don't worry. I know you're sick, right? You're sin sick right now. But you know, there's a way. I'm the divine physician. I can heal that thing.
Amen.
I can go ahead and I can take care of all that. He says, I'm not just going to wash it like they did in the Old Testament. You know, I'm not just going to cover it with the blood and sprinkle it. No, he's going to absolutely wash him away and forgive him for eternity. He says, he's going to cast him behind his back and be gone. Forever. Forever. I may be accountable for what I do as a Christian, but my past life is forgiven in the sea of forgetfulness. It will no longer be brought up to me.
That's right.
I don't have to stand in judgment for what I've done as a lost person. Jesus Christ, he done that right there. He brought that down to hell, burned, became that sacrifice, a salted sacrifice. Now you go back and read about how the sacrifices had to be salted. You go back and read what it says about Jesus Christ becoming that salted sacrifice. You tell me why the Old Testament isn't important then. He had to fulfill. He says he didn't come to destroy the law and prophets, but to fulfill them. So he had to become what they did, what they were. And he did that. Study, I'm telling you, boy. Whew, Word of God, there's nothing like it. Because he knew part of his Jewish heritage, talking about Paul, was from God to preserve the Word of God. If God cannot give us a perfect Bible and he and his people have preserved, then how can we trust him for salvation? How can we trust him to preserve us until his coming and throughout eternity? How can you sit in this room today thinking that God cannot give us a perfect Bible and then expect him to hold you for your salvation? If he can't give us a perfect Bible, then he can't give you salvation. He can't hold on to you for eternity. He's too weak. That's what you think in your head. People, they really think that it's that impossible for God to give us a good Word of God, the perfect Word of God. They think it's impossible for him to do that. They think he can't do that. But then he can't give you salvation if he can't give you a simple word, a book. How did he save you then if he can't give you a book? Then you better not believe that he can hold you for eternity. You can't believe it. Because you're calling God powerless if you can't settle with your heart that he gave us a perfect Bible. And you know what? People don't want to believe it. And that's why they run to all that other baloney and garbage. Thank God he gave me something from him and not what some man told me. Thank God he gave me something from him, something that I can live by for him, that he accepts. You see, people can't accept the Word of God because you know why? Because they can't accept the Word of God because they can't stand looking at themselves. You know what most of my problem was? All those drugs blinded my mind so I couldn't see who I really was.
That's right.
But then when I got delivered from that stuff, guess what? I finally started seeing what I really was. And it didn't take a pill to make me feel better. You know what cleaned my conscience, brother? The blood of Jesus Christ cleaned my conscience and forgave me forever.
Amen.
That's what delivered me. And I'm not putting anybody down front who was on medicine. I'm just telling you now, this world is so blinded by that medicine. It's so blinded by their own ways, their own pride. They've kicked God out of everything, and they expect us to go somewhere. And I'm just telling you now, we're going nowhere fast. How's it working for America? There was a time. Maybe some of you guys are old enough to know that. I'm not picking on your age. But there was a time when you could walk into a school and hear about the Bible. The drunks, the people who used to were you know, doing this or doing that, they still had some Bible in their life. They may have not lived it. There was people who were lost out there. But you know what? The Bible was alive and it was prevalent. And I'm going to tell you now, America was in a better place, in a better state than it is ever today.
Yes.
Well, let's just get rid of God's Word. Let's kick him out of everything and see how America does. Well, I'm just telling you now, we're paying the price for it. I'm just telling you now, Romans 1 says they've been America has been turned over to a reprobate mind. They've been turned over to their own lusts and desires. That's where America's standing today. It's disgusting. It's sick. But you know what? It's accepted. And you know what? You can live your life any way you want. I'm not picking on the homosexuals and the lesbians and all. My pastor would be mad at me if he ever thought I was picking on them. But let me tell you this. I don't have to accept your lifestyle, and you're trying to force me to.
That's right.
But you sure won't accept my lifestyle. You don't want to hear a word I have to say. You want to jump down my throat and try to push everything down me, but I can't say a word to you. They'll sue me in court if I try to say anything about them for defamation of character, but it's okay to do it for me. This is where America has become. This is why we've become so blind, and we have become so hardened towards this stuff. And let me ask you something. Don't we teach our kids not to pick on those people? Yeah. My kids aren't allowed to say anything about them.
Amen.
They don't have to accept their lifestyle, but I don't have to go out there bashing them either.
Right.
Thank God my pastor didn't bash me.
Amen.
I may not be sitting in church today if he did that.
Right.
But I tell you what, me and my wife were just talking about this yesterday. The Bible says, Jesus says your family is going, he didn't come to bring peace, but he came to bring a sword.
That's right.
Living for him is going to bring separation between you and your family. I'll tell you what, me and my wife are living testimonies today that our families, my family didn't like me when I lived as a non-Christian, and they don't like me now that I live as a Christian. Sometimes I feel like walking up to them and just going absolutely buck wild and say, how do you like it? Oh, don't go back and be a Christian. Why? Do you like me better as a Christian now? Which one? I'm sorry. Well, how would you like me to live my life? If you didn't like me being who I used to be, a renegade, and you don't like me being a Christian, how can I make you happy? I don't care if I make you happy.
That's right.
I could care less, because you know what they're doing? They're fulfilling the word of God as we speak today. He said there will be a division. Why? He says you're going to suffer for my name's sake. And that's painful. I mean, just my wife is crying. It's painful to have that happen. But Jesus Christ said it's going to happen. Why? Because we stand on him. We stand on his word. We believe what it says. That's our lifestyle. And I don't think we do it. You know, if we were doing it for what other people believed and what other people wanted, I wouldn't be standing behind this pulpit today. Because I'd be too much of a men pleaser.
Yeah.
You know what? I can say some pretty hard things out of the King James Bible, but you know what? It needs to be said. And I'm not afraid to say it. You know what? I wasn't afraid to say things when I lived for hell. And I'm sure not afraid to say anything now I'm living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the worst that anybody can ever do to me is send me to heaven. Go ahead. I'm sure I'd miss my family and my family would miss me, but I'll be at the feet of Jesus Christ. God, do what you got to do. In the Bible, God gives us a warning not to change his word. In Revelation 22, 18, would you please turn with me to Revelation 22, please? You know, I hit this already, but I want to read it out of his word. And I want to say it word for word, exactly for what it says. Sometimes I can misquote and miss everything else. I think this is important, and most of you guys probably know it. Revelation 22, starting in verse 18. Matter of fact, I'll go to verse 17. It says, in the Spirit,
And the bride say, come, and let him that heareth come, and let him that thirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify, every man that heareth the words of this prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are, which are written in this book. I'm just here to testify to you today that Jesus Christ testified. He said their names are not in the book. They're not in the holy city. Why? Because they've changed his word. That's a warning that they clearly... Now, let me just read what it says in their... I brought my own NIV. Because I just want to read. I can hardly read it. It's so small. That's why they can't read them either. That's why they don't read the verses. I'm just kidding. Revelation 22. Here we go. Revelation 22. They got everything. 16. Okay. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of the book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add unto him the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes the word away from this book of prophecy, God will take him from his share. From his share of the tree of life and the holy city, which are described in this book. He that testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen, Lord. There's that word Lord. Remember, they took out Jesus. They took that out, put in Lord there. They're trying to show you that's the devil. But anyway, that warning is still in theirs. That's pretty clear in their NIV, not to change the word of God. And yet they go ahead and just toss that out. They go ahead and just go ahead. Just change it up. It doesn't bother them that God warned them not to do it. You know who's saying it? Jesus Christ is standing there. Now, if you go back to John 1:14, it says that, well, who's the Word? It says the Word was made flesh. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And let me ask you this. If Jesus Christ is the same today, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and He will never change, then why are they changing the Word of God if He is the Word of God? Tell me how they get around that. He says that he's never going to change. Go look in the book of Hebrews. It says he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's what the word says. And he will not change. If he will not change, and then John 1:14 says the word was made flesh, and Jesus Christ is the word, then how are they getting around changing it? And then, just to get around that, they think they can get around that. God feels sorry for those type and gives them another warning that we just read. But if you go back, he gives another warning in Deuteronomy. I think it's Deuteronomy 6. I think I got it right here. Deuteronomy 4:2. Deuteronomy 4:2, it says, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Not only does he give warning, that's Deuteronomy 4:2. Not only does he give a warning in the New Testament, but in the Old, he says, don't change my word. So he's put a seal on both the Old and the New. They're both important to us. Don't change either of them. And yet, that's what they do. I'm not talking about just NIV, ASVB. And I mean, Amy looked the other day, and she could not believe how many different versions of the Bible are out there. Just to let you know, there's also one called the Queen James Bible that came out in 2012, and it's for homosexuals. Go look it up. The Queen James Bible, that's what it's called, it's the name of it, was published in 2012 for homosexuals. It takes everything that has to do with sodomy and all that stuff, and it erases it all out there, and it makes God a female God. That's how they do it, man. That's how they do it. There's nothing against you, ladies. I'm not saying nothing against you guys. But I'm just telling you, when you can get that bold and do that in the face of Almighty God, this world is in a whole lot of trouble. Now they're putting billboard signs up. I just read it in the news yesterday in Missouri and Kansas. And it says, God loves gay people. Bang. I agree with you. He sure does love gay people. But he sure does not like how they live.
That's right.
That is a fact.
People, oh, God doesn't hate gay. No, he does not hate gay people. But I tell you this, he doesn't like their sin just as well as he don't like my sins.
That's right.
I was never gay. But he didn't like me being a thief. He didn't like me saying that I hated my mother. He didn't like me treating her that way. Your sin is no better than my sin, where God would not hate the sin. Loves the sinner, hates the sin. Now, if they can get that in their head, they'd be okay. But they can't, so that's why they've got a Queen James Bible.
It's just, it's sad to see where America's going today. It's not only America, it's the whole world. The whole world. Now, I'm going to close with this. Now, why do you think, one, it's okay to change to an NIV, ASVB, etc.? John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him not anything was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light that shineth in darkness. Listen to this. And the darkness comprehended it not.
You know why they're living the way they are? Because they can't comprehend it. They're still in darkness. The Word of God cannot shine upon their hearts because they refuse it. In the book of Matthew, it says, men love darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. That's what it says. That's what it says. The more we study the Bible, the more we see, the more we hear preaching, the more we look around, we go, man, that's got to be true. Because it's going against everything man says is okay. That's how you know you hold the real Bible in your hand, because it goes against every single thing man believes is okay. Everything. It'll shoot your whole everything now. I'm just telling you now, I never in my life thought the way I think today. Why? Because the King James Bible had brought my thinking from here to where I am today. I'm not talking about being smarter. I'm just talking about my eyes are open to things. I'm saved. I see things differently now than I ever would. Why? Because I didn't bring God down to my level. God's bringing me up to His level. When it's all said and done, and I close my eyes for the first time, God's not going to come down here and live with me. I'm going to live with Him. I'm going to live with Him. And so you know what? He's giving me a little preparation here on how to start acting like that here. Basic instructions before leaving earth. He's giving me a little hint of how I'm going to live my life up there. You know, I'm going to do it down here. People say, well, it's not like heaven. And I say this all the time. You guys hear me say it all the time. I do have a piece of heaven on earth. And that's with my Bible, my Lord and Savior, and my family. Amen. That's my little, you know what? Coming here in the mornings, this is joy to me. Going to Black Creek and preaching, that's joy to me. I get to see my family. My Christian family, I get to come here and I get to hang out with you guys. That's a joy to me. I told Amy, I said, you know where our true friends lie? You know where our real family's at, Amy? And she looked at me, I said, you got it, in our church. You guys are my family. Our own family wants to shun us, cut us off, don't want nothing to do with us hardly. You guys accept us. You guys love it. Why? Because we're all people of God. We're all His children. We're a family. They say blood's thicker than water. Good, because we have the blood of Jesus Christ on us. And you're right. It is thicker than water. You guys are my family. And I thank God for it. I thank God for it. I'm just telling you, man, there's nothing like having the Word of God in your life and be able to live on it and stand on it. And I can see book studies that He gave me that outline. I went home and copied that thing. And that's good to do that, though.
Amen.
That's how I learn.
That's right.
And I thank God for, you know what He says? He said he'll teach me. He's willing to teach me. Am I willing to learn? I am. And I thank God for Him teaching me.